Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies in the fruits of the Christian life. We started in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." Now, the branches bear the fruit, but the vine is the strength. Now, there are 3 degrees, as we've already mentioned, of fruit bearing there. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And I think the theme verse, really, for this whole series is verse 8 of the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker, and he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." And indeed, the fruits of the Christian life are great. Now, as we mentioned before, the fruit is not defined in John chapter 15. We have to go elsewhere in the New Testament. We define fruits in so many different ways, ways that we can bring pleasure to God through food. Fruit. Now, in those days, of course, fruit was very hard to preserve, and the tree-ripened fruit was indeed delicious. It's probably that reason that the Spirit of God has chosen to use the word fruit to really impress us with what we're doing for God when we give to Him fruit. And certainly the fruits of the Christian life are many. Today we wish to consider, with the help of the Lord, the fruit of giving. Our gifts to God are counted as fruit. Now, we read there, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians here, and he says in verse 12 of the 4th chapter of Philippians, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And Paul certainly abounded on some occasions, and perhaps was hungry on other occasions. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done in that ye did communicate with my affliction," his need. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." He calls their gifts to him fruit. Now he says, "I don't desire the gift. I'm not money hungry," Paul is telling these Philippians, "but I desire rather through your gift that fruit may abound to your account." Now, God is a good account keeper, and God pays interest on our giving, interest that nobody in this world can afford. And Paul calls it fruit. And then he says in verse 18, "But I have all," I have your gift, "I have all and abound." He was just impressed with their spirit of giving. And he says, there's fruit going to abound to your account. God's going to reward you. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which he was sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this was Paul being supported. Now, the poor saints at Jerusalem are supported, too, by the gifts of these people in Macedonia and Achaia. We read of this in the 15th chapter of Romans. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman Christians there, says, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia," Greece, of course, is Achaia, "to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, for and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, when I've completed the deliverance of the gift and sealed to them this fruit, I will come to you into Spain, come by you into Spain. Now the Apostle Paul is speaking of the liberality of these Macedonians and these Achaean people, the Greek people. They heard about these saints in Jerusalem, how poor they were. They were desperate in their need. Perhaps they were being ostracized. Perhaps they were being boycotted by Jewish people. I don't know. But there was a great need in Jerusalem. And Paul says, they have ministered to you in spiritual things. Paul was educated in Jerusalem. Now, it's your privilege to minister to them in the carnal things, in the things that, mundane things. The Lord Jesus calls them, indeed, in Luke chapter 16, the mundane things. Not by that word. But he commends those that give. Now, here, we want to talk about something about the accomplishments of giving. Now, it is our privilege to give. Why? First of all, because God is a giver. God is a giver, and He wants us to grow into His character. Think of, if you will, what God has given to us. He's given us His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has given us His Spirit. He has given us eternal life. The moment that we put our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, the moment that we believe that His death was all and sufficient to meet our need, that He paid our debt of sin by His suffering on the cross, when we accept that from God, and when we make Christ our Savior by telling Him so, and telling Him along with that we love Him for doing what He did, now when we do that, we indeed receive a gift from God. It's His gift, eternal life. And He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us care. He answers our prayers and all our need. God is a giver. And He would like to see His characteristics developed in you and me. Now we read in the Corinthian epistle, 2 Corinthian epistle, of something of these gifts of which Paul is speaking of in the Roman epistle. We read in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now he's writing to the Corinthians and bragging about the Macedonians. Let's see how they take it. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints," and the saints at Jerusalem, of course. We just read of it in Romans chapter 15. The Macedonians and the Achaean people sent these gifts. Now listen to what Paul says. He says, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift." Paul didn't want to receive it. These Macedonians were robbing themselves. And Paul, they had to urge Paul to take this gift. They gave so generously out of their hearts to these poor saints at Jerusalem. Now he says, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And now listen, please. "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, unto us by the will of God, Yes, God wants our money. He wants it because it will be rewarded, and he likes to reward us. But we can give ourselves to God. We're told in the 12th chapter of Romans to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. We can give that to him. He gave us his best. Can't we give him our best? And here he says here, they gave themselves to the Lord. Now he says, he goes on farther in the next chapter to talk about the accomplishment of their gift that was going to reach these poor saints at Jerusalem. He says then in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, when we sow our gifts, when we give our gifts, we're sowing. We're giving seed. Let's see what God does with that seed. Every man, according to the purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You can't outgive God. As you give, he will supply you. He'll make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food, and multiply your seed sown, and don't think God can't do it, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything and to all bountifulness, which causeth to us thanksgiving to God. Now, five things are accomplished by our gifts. Notice them closely. Giving will bring us a reward, first of all, as we saw in verse 6. We shall reap. Giving will cause thanksgiving to God, verse 11, we just read it. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Paul thanked God for those Philippians, or Macedonians rather. For the administration of this want not only supplieth the want of the saints, that is the third thing that's accomplished. It meets their need. Not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. They in turn turn around and thank God for the gift. It results in thanksgivings to God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them. They're praying for you. Now their prayer, and by their prayer for you which long after you in the exceeding grace of God. And then he climaxes this portion with a wonderful verse. Thanks be unto God for his unutterable, unspeakable gift. Our Father, today we thank you that you do take note of our generosity, and we pray that we might indeed grow into your likeness, that your character might be on us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.